everybody, and welcome back to Nailing It, the podcast. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. If you're new here and you don't know who I am, my name is Olivia and I'm a fully qualified nail technician, and I have been for over 2 years now. I work self-employed out of my home salon and I absolutely love my job. I am passionate about all things nails, if you didn't guess already. So if you're the same, I would love for you to stick around and listen to this episode. Today's episode is going to be all about prescriptive manicures, but I do have other episodes with other topics if you want to listen to a different one. Before I get into the topic of today's episode, I have a question for How to Nail It. This question I did pull from a question box that I put on my Instagram. It was for a Q&A that I'm doing on my YouTube, which I have not recorded yet, but I didn't have a question from anyone else, and this question fit in quite nicely with this episode of the podcast. So the question comes from _SummerButte on Instagram, and her question is all about cuticles. So she asks, what are the different cuticle types and what are the main things to look out for with cuticle prep? Now, I thought this question fit really nicely into this episode about prescriptive manicures, because I feel like when we talk about prescriptive manicures, we talk a lot about the products that we're putting on our clients' nails and not the service as a whole, when it really does play into every part of your service. You should be tailoring every part of your service, the prep, the application, the product type, to your client's needs and wants. Now, when it comes to cuticles, it's really difficult to explain the different types of cuticles without sort of the visuals there as well. But when it comes to me prepping cuticles and the main things that I look out for, a factor that plays into it is the client's age, because a lot of the times our older clients and more elderly clients tend to have more sensitive skin and sensitive cuticles. So you really want to bear that in mind. And maybe before you sort of go in with your e-file drill bits, I would push back the cuticles with a manual cuticle tool instead, because that just avoids you sort of going in too harsh straight away. You've got the nail biter's cuticles. A nail biter's cuticles tend to be really hard and stick quite firmly onto the nail plate, so you may need to take a lot more time to get their cuticles looking good and taking all of that dead skin off the nail plate. I actually have a video that I'm uploading probably today. It'll already be up on my TikTok. I can't put it on Instagram because it's too long, but it's definitely on my TikTok, and it is a whole video of how I prep a nail biter's nails, and it is very different to how you would normally prep a client's nails. Now, obviously, you've got normal cuticle type, so that is just a cuticle that grows regularly, it's not too dry, it's not too oily, it's easy to get off the nail plate, it's easy to nip away. And then you've got dry cuticles. Now, dry cuticles do tend to be, I think, easier to remove, because a lot of the time if a client has dry cuticles, that cuticle has already probably flaked away from the nail plate. So all you really need to focus on is just pushing back that cuticle a little bit. Now, I do have a lot of cuticle e-file bits. If you're watching on YouTube, I will show you right now. So these are just a third of the cuticle bits that I have. I think I have about 10 cuticle e-file bits, which is crazy, but I really genuinely do use every single one of them, and I really do switch up which one I use depending on my client's cuticle type, because I do feel like I've had one too many instances where I have maybe gone a little bit too hard on someone's cuticles and accidentally made them really sensitive or made them bleed a little bit. And that is exactly what we want to avoid. So when you're looking and analysing a client's cuticles, you want to mainly be looking at the way they're their cuticles have grown. And you can really tell a lot by literally just looking at them. Now, if I ever have a new client, I always start off by using my manual cuticle pusher. And that is because that gives me a really good idea of how their cuticles are going to behave and how they're going to react to whatever I decide to do next. I have a lot more control when I use my hand cuticle pusher, my what do you call it? Yeah, manual tool. I think that's what you call it. But you have a lot more control when you use that. And I like to do that with first-time clients because I just don't know what their cuticles are going to be like and how their cuticles are going to react to me working on them. So that usually gives me a really good idea. And then from there, I can sort of assess how much more dead skin needs to come off the nail plate and how much more I need to push back the cuticle and get under the proximal nail fold. So that will determine what e-file bits I use after that. Now, my most used e-file bits, if you are interested, are obviously all from Nobovi. All of my cuticle bits are from Nobovi. Sorry, all of my e-file bits are from Nobovi. If you didn't know, I am a brand ambassador for Nobovi, and I do have a code. If you just put Olivia5 at checkout, you'll get yourself a little 5% discount. But the main ones that I use are Shore in Fine. Now, I know Sadie from Nobovi, she's low on stock at the moment on a lot of things because there's stuff going on behind the scenes, but she is going to have a big restock soon. So if there are any of these that are out of stock, I do apologize, but just keep your eye out, and you can go on the website and select the get notified when it's back in stock, so that you'll get notified by email when they come in stock. But so Shore is the one that I use the most on most cuticles. A tapered cone diamond probe bit, and it's really, I really love the shape of it to really get into the cuticle to lift off and remove as much of the dead skin that's stuck on the nail plate. So that's what that one's really good for. And it also does actually slightly push up the cuticle as well, which is really great. So that is a really great all-rounder, I would say, and the one that I use the most. And then we have the Tiki Flame bit. And that one is, I mean, if you haven't used a flame bit yet, you're missing out, because a flame bit is definitely one that you will use pretty much every single day in your kit, because it's because of its pointed end, it's really easy to get under the proximal nail fold and remove any skin that's stuck under there. Another bit that I really love is Cabana. Cabana is a tiny, small little pear drop bit that is really great for precision work. I can never say that word. Precision work, and good for getting any dead skin that's stuck on the sidewalls as well. So they're my three most used cuticle bits. Again, if any of them are out of stock, then I do apologize, but they will be back in stock soon. And remember, you can use my code Olivia5 at checkout if you want to buy any of them. But I think that's all I have to say on cuticles. I don't know if I made a whole lot of sense, because as I said, it is a little bit hard to explain without sort of, I suppose, showing a picture or a video. So if you would like a more in-depth video on that, I can post one on my YouTube. That is another thing that I wanted to talk about. I have been posting over on YouTube if you are interested in watching any of my YouTube videos. At the moment, I've only done day in the life vlogs, but I do have a lot of ideas for lots of different videos. So look out for those and watch this space. But yeah, if you want a more in-depth video where I actually film different cuticle types and how I would deal with them, I can definitely do that for you. So if anyone wants that, just DM me over on Instagram so I know that it's something that is going to be worth me making for you all. Now, I hope this summer doesn't mind me answering the question here on the podcast rather than over on YouTube. I will send her a little DM to let her know. But thank you so much for asking the question. And now I will get on to the actual topic of the episode. So like I said, we're talking about prescriptive manicures. So I'll start off by sort of talking about what a prescriptive manicure actually is. That is a really difficult sentence. Prescriptive manicure. I feel like you have to say it slow to get it out right. So just bear with me, because if I have to say it lots of times in this video, it might sound a little bit funny. So a prescriptive manicure is a manicure that's tailored to each individual. It's done by fully analysing your client's nail type, health, and their lifestyle to offer them a service and a product that perfectly suits them, so they not only get their desired results, but they also get the results that they need for their nail type and their nail health, therefore meaning that their manicure will hopefully last longer and they'll get the most out of it. Prescriptive manicures are really important because not every product works on every client. So you may have a client that has really dry nails or oily nails, or they might have ridges in their nails, or they might have ski slope nails or spoon nails. There are so many different types of nails, and all of those different types of nails require a different product or a different way to apply those products or a different method for prepping the nail. So for instance, you may have a client that comes in wanting a gel polish manicure, but after analysing their nails, you notice that they have quite a few deep ridges in some of their nails. Now, if you were to go in and just apply a gel polish manicure without anything else, you're probably going to still see those dips in the nails, because a gel polish manicure is obviously quite thin and sits directly on top of the nails, so it'll show any imperfection in the nail plate. So if they still want a gel polish manicure, I would offer them a rubber base manicure. That way you can use the rubber base underneath the gel polish to ensure that you are sort of smoothing out any imperfections in the nail plate. And that way, when you put the gel polish on top, it sits really nice and smoothly on the nail and doesn't look ridgy and bumpy. Another example is a client may have really long nails, but they might have a really hands-on job. So builder gel may not be enough strength for them and the things that they do in their everyday life. So for instance, maybe they're a mum and they're always cleaning or washing up or playing with their kids, or maybe they work in a restaurant and they're constantly washing their hands and banging their nails accidentally because they're always working really fast, or maybe they work on a farm and their hands are always muddy and they, you know, anything that is a little bit more accident prone, I'm trying to say, you would probably be better opting for a hard gel manicure instead of a builder gel manicure, because hard gel is a lot harder and a lot more hard wearing, so it would probably suit their lifestyle a lot better. As nail techs, we really need to be looking at every client as an individual case and not sort of assuming that what they've booked in is exactly what they need or what is going to work best for them. So that's why performing a consultation on every client at every appointment is really, really important. So you want to, in your consultation, you basically want to try and gain as much information as possible from your client. So you want to talk about their lifestyle, about their health, about their nail history. All of these questions will play into whatever treatment you end up doing on them. So you want to make sure that you always ask open-ended questions and closed-ended questions. They're both just as important as each other. So an open-ended question is, as the title suggests, a question that is left open. So that means that your client can give a more detailed and in-depth answer, and it's not just a short yes or no answer. So for example, you would ask, do you have any health conditions you would like to make me aware of? So that question can then lead on to them talking about any health problems they may have. That question can also be a closed question. Obviously, the answer may just be a straight up no, I don't think so. But it's basically mainly only focusing on how you ask the question and allowing your client to just have the floor so they can talk. So obviously a closed question is the opposite. It's a question that just calls for a yes or no answer, to be honest, or a one-worded answer. So for example, have you ever experienced an allergy to gel nail products? That would either be yes or no. And then you can go on to ask, how did you experience that allergy, and blah blah blah. So that leads on to you asking open-ended questions. And then another one would be, when was the last time you had your nails done? So they would just say 6 months ago. And that is also classed as a closed-ended question. Both types of questions are always necessary to ask your clients. And I have a paper consultation form that I use for every one of my clients' first appointments. I don't use that same paper consultation form in every one of my clients' appointments. If I have a regular client, then my consultation just basically consists of me asking, how are your nails? How have they lasted? You know, did you like the color? What would you like on your nails today? Do we need to change a product? Would you like to change the shape? Just those sorts of questions are appropriate when you've got a regular client, because you'll find that you get to know your clients really well and you get to know their nails. So most of the time, there's not really a need to ask those more in-depth questions. It's more just an in general, like a quick little catch up. Now, I actually choose to specialize in builder gel nails, and that may seem like I am not offering a prescriptive manicure service, because I only offer one product. Well, I offer three different services. So my first service is a rubber-based manicure. Now, I tend to not just do gel polish manicures, because gel polish manicures tend to only last 2 weeks and I want my client to get the most out of their nails. So if somebody wants a gel polish manicure, I will nearly always do a rubber based manicure on them, just because a rubber base just adds that extra layer of protection and longevity, so they can come every 3 weeks instead of every 2 weeks. And then the next service I offer is obviously builder gel, but if you don't know already, I do use Hohner for my whole gel system, and Hohner have two different types of builder gels. So they have their Pure Build, which is their OG builder gel, and Pure Build acts as a classic builder gel. It is a little bit flexible but doesn't have lots of flex. It acts just as an extra layer of protection on your client's nails, and it's really great for clients that just have average nail health. They need that extra strength on their nails, but the nails aren't so flexible that the builder gel won't crack or chip. But if I have a client that has really flexible nails, maybe they're damaged from previous nail techs or previous nail enhancements, or they're just not naturally very strong, because some people just have, you know, naturally quite weak nails and they can't grow their nails really strong and healthy. So for a client like that, they need a product that is more flexible. So it flexes with their natural nail. So it doesn't like chip or crack or break. So for this, I would use Pure Foundation. Pure Foundation is a hybrid builder gel. So it's a hybrid between rubber base and builder gel. So it has a lot more flex in it. I have Pure Foundation on me now and it works perfectly on me. It is a little bit more of a universal builder gel than Pure Build, I would say. I think that Pure Foundation would work on most clients, whereas Pure Build maybe wouldn't. You know, I have longer nails that are quite flexible, but Pure Foundation works really well on me, and Pure Build probably wouldn't work that great on me. I did used to have Pure Build on quite a while ago, but my nails were a lot healthier back then. They've been through a bit of a beating, if I'm perfectly honest. I am a nail tech after all. We never have the healthiest nails. So I opted to switch over to Pure Foundation because I was finding that Pure Build was sort of cracking and chipping, as my natural nail wanted to flex. The Pure Build wasn't flexing enough with it. So that works really well for me. It also works really well on clients that are just starting out on their Build Agile journey. So I always tend to use it on clients when they first come to me, because it is, like I said, a more universal product. So I like to use that first to gauge how well Pure Build might last on them, because I know that more likely than not, Pure Foundation will last and it will give them the retention that they need. It's just that Pure Foundation might not give them the strength that they need. So if a client has, like I said earlier, longer nails, but they've got a quite, you know, a lifestyle that means they're always using their hands, then I would usually opt for Pure Build on them, just because it does cure quite a bit harder than Pure Foundation. And then the third service I offer is gel extensions. This is a fairly new service for me, and I'll be honest, it's not really a service that I like doing all that much. I moved away from extensions about a year and a half ago now, I think, just because I didn't really enjoy doing them that much. I used acrylic and hard gel back when I did extensions, and Hona brought out Swift Tips, so I wanted to try them, which Swift Tips are a full cover tip extension. And don't get me wrong, they're a really, really great product, but it's just, I don't think it's for me, and I do only offer it to a very small amount of clients. It's not something that I advertise all that much, just because it's not something that I fully enjoy doing or feel like I am as good at. I don't feel like I'm as good at gel extensions as I am at a Build a Gel manicure on natural nails. So they're the three services, different services that I offer. Now, obviously, Build a Gel has become a hugely popular product in the nail industry, and it is offered in most salons. And to be honest, now most clients do opt for Build a Gel. I would say 90% of my clients have Build a Gel on, and out of those 90%, I would say I use Pure Foundation and Pure Build 50-50, and the other 10% are either a rubber based manicure or gel extensions. But obviously, it's really important to remember that Build a Gel doesn't work for everybody, so it is important to have other services that you offer as well. Now, with that being said, you also don't have to offer every service. It's okay if you actually just want to specialize in one thing. We shouldn't be expected to offer every service, especially if we are self-employed nail technicians that work on our own, because all of these different services, the products that you need for them cost a lot of money, and the training costs a lot of money as well. And you don't have to jump on every trend that is happening. If you work with, say, acrylic, and you have done for years, and you absolutely love acrylic, and that is the product that you have fallen in love with, then you don't have to go out and get trained in gel extensions, or you don't have to offer Builder Gel as a service to your clients, because most likely, they're not the clients that you're going to attract anyway, because the clients that you're going to attract are the clients that are wanting acrylic nails, because that's probably what you mainly post on your social media. I personally was trained in hard gel and acrylic, but I don't actually offer either of these services anymore, just because I wanted my focus to be on the health of my clients' nails. Not to say that if you get extensions in acrylic or hard gel that your nails are unhealthy. It's just that I really wanted to focus on Build a Gel and growing people's nails nice and healthy and long without extensions, because that is the most satisfying part of my job. You know, when a client comes back to me and they've grown their nails for 3 weeks and you can see that growth, that's just so satisfying to me. And to put an extension on just doesn't give me that same joy, to be perfectly honest with you. So Acrylic and hard gel are mainly used to create extensions, as they are very hard wearing products that can hold themselves up without the support of the natural nail. Whereas builder gel is too flexible to be used for extensions. I know a lot of people do use builder gel for extensions, but I personally don't, unless I have a client that's just broken one nail that just needs a short extension to make them match the rest. A product like builder gel or a rubber base really needs the support of the natural nail just as much as the natural nail needs the support from the builder gel. The natural nail and the builder gel really work well together, whereas acrylic and hard gel just don't need that strength or support from anything. They can hold themselves up on their own without cracking or breaking or chipping if applied correctly, obviously. Now, hard gel seems to be making a massive comeback in the industry at the moment, but it seems that a lot of people are using it on the natural nail as you would use builder gel on the natural nail, so as an overlay, which is something that I was trained in. I was trained to do hard gel as an overlay as part of my course, but it isn't something that I would necessarily use now unless completely necessary and my client really needed it. So hard gel, as its title suggests, is very hard. So you have to make sure that you're using it in the correct way on the correct nail type. So if I were to use a hard gel as an overlay, I would use it on a client that liked to keep their nails longer, but their lifestyle or job means that the builder gel doesn't quite have the strength that they need. So, you know, if I have a client that's got really long nails and, you know, like I said earlier, they work in a restaurant or they're a mom or they're always typing on the computer, something that is always beating their nails up, then maybe I would choose a hard gel if builder gel wasn't working for them. Most of the time, builder gel does work and I don't actually offer hard gel as a service. So, my clients that have longer nails get along with pure build just fine. But, you know, for you, if you have a client that is keeping their nails long but their lifestyle doesn't match that, then maybe getting hard gel might be a good option for you, just like it's a really great option for extensions. But if I was to use hard gel on very weak or flexible nails, it probably wouldn't work very well because hard gel has no flexibility in it at all. Like I said, it's very hard, so it won't bend or move with the natural nail. This may mean that the natural nail underneath would flex and possibly come away from the hard gel, making it more likely that the hard gel would chip, crack, or break. That tends to happen sometimes. Even on my clients that have weaker nails, whenever I've used Pure Build on them before Pure Foundation came out, a lot of the times, because Pure Build was harder than their nail, like not as flexible as their natural nail, then when their natural nail flexed, the Pure Build didn't go with the nail, so it would snap and break off the natural nail, if that makes sense. I feel like I'm really repeating myself in this episode. So it would also be a similar situation if you were to use acrylic in the same way as I've just explained hard gel. Both of these products, of course, have their place in the industry, but just because something becomes a trend, it doesn't always mean that you have to then try that trend or offer it as a service. If you work self-employed, then you already know how easy it is to spend a lot of money in this job on new products and new trends and, you know, just in general, buying the products that you need as a nail technician is expensive. So when you throw in a new trend or a new tool or a new product that's going around, then this job is is not sustainable and you can't make money. So just because hard gel at the moment is having a moment, don't feel like you need to try it and you need to add it to your services, because like I said, I don't offer hard gel and I don't have any clients that need hard gel. So it would be pointless me bringing that product into my salon, because I feel like I would just be moving over some of my clients to hard gel when it's just not necessary, and I will have just spent more money on something that I don't actually need. Now, if a client came to me and they maybe needed hard gel, I would consider buying some, but also I maybe would even just tell them to find somebody that offers hard gel, because it's actually okay to keep your focus and just specialize on something that you enjoy. Now, that feels like a contradiction when talking about prescriptive manicures, but like I said earlier, a prescriptive manicure isn't just about the product that you're putting on your client's nails. It is also about the whole service, so your prep work and all of that sort of stuff. So it does come into play in with every client, whether you offer a range of different products or not. It still is something that you need to think about and that you need to make sure that you're doing for every client. Obviously, a prescriptive manicure only goes so far. It's not a case of you having to offer every service under the sun to fit every client, because it's really just not realistic. And like I said before, it's just not sustainable. You're not going to make enough money to be able to keep buying all of these products that you're going to need. It's also really important to remember that there is most likely a nail tech round the corner from you that specializes in something different to what you're specializing in. So if you do have a client that wants to book in with you for, say, acrylic extensions, and you don't offer acrylic extensions, that doesn't mean that you then have to go out and buy acrylics and all of the things that you need to do acrylic extensions. You can just say, I'm so sorry, I don't offer that as a service, but X, Y, and Z, whoever else offers it as a service. It's okay to say no to clients and to, you know, say to a client, look, this product isn't working for you. Maybe you need to find somebody that offers this product that might work for your nails. You don't have to always cater to your clients and mold to your clients. You can actually just let go of clients that aren't fitting into what it is that you're providing. So even as I'm talking about prescriptive manicures, I want you to keep that in mind, that it's not just about having all of these products that are going to fit every client's needs. It's also about recognizing when a client doesn't fit in with what it is you're offering. That is part of a prescriptive manicure as well. Like I said, we can't be expected to mold ourselves to every single person that walks through the door. That is just not possible. So the one last thing that I just wanted to mention, because I think I've covered everything else, is that it's really important to remember that prescriptive manicure is a continued thing that you do on every appointment. It's not just something you do with your client on their first appointment and then never to do again, because you may not actually get it right on their first appointment. You may put a product on them thinking that it's going to be the product that works for them, but it actually doesn't, and they come back with a broken nail or a chipped nail. So then you've got to sort of start from square one and figure out what it is they need that's going to actually work for them and give them the retention that they need for their lifestyle. So make sure that you are thinking about it always, and it's not just something that you do with a client the first time that they come to you. I feel like I've been talking for ages and I do feel like I sort of repeated myself in this episode. I feel like it was quite a tricky episode to talk about, but I tried my best. I did have notes next to me, so hopefully I made some sense and I didn't repeat myself too much. I hope that you found this helpful if you are a new nail tech and you haven't been taught about prescriptive manicures, or you don't know what it is or how to do it. I hope this has helped a little bit. And before I finish up this episode, I just wanted to do Nail Tech Spotlight of the Week. So this is a new segment that I'm doing. It used to be Salon Scares, but where I wanted people to submit their sort of bad experiences as a nail tech or as a client, but I wasn't getting many submissions, which is fine. And I also did think it was a little bit negative. So I switched it up and decided to do Nail Tech Spotlight of the Week. So this week's nail tech that I wanted to shine a light on and spotlight is Nails by Olivia on TikTok. Let me just double check her TikTok handle. So her TikTok handle is Nails S by Olivia. So that's NailSBYOLIWIA. And I wanted to talk about Olivia because she has been absolutely smashing it on Instagram, TikTok at the moment. She also posts on Instagram as well, and I do love her Instagram stories. She really nails it with her Instagram stories. They always look really professional and nice and clean. But her TikTok is really starting to gain some traction at the moment. She posts on there quite a lot. I would say at least twice a day. At the moment, she is on holiday, so she's posting some holiday content, which is absolutely lovely to watch. And it's nice to have somebody pop up on your For You page that's not just nail content. So she posts little days in the life. She also recently spoke about how she didn't like her job anymore. So she's got a little series where she's sort of trying to fall back in love with being a nail tech again, which I really love. I love her honesty and how open she is, and not to mention that her work is incredible. She just seems like the loveliest person, and we do comment back and forth to each other. So I've not had much interaction with Olivia, but I know that she seems really lovely, and she's definitely worth following over on TikTok and Instagram. So if you want to show her some love, definitely go and do that. Give her a follow. She's trying to get to 10k followers by the end of the year on TikTok, and she's currently on 8,700 nearly. So let's go and see if we can get her there. But yeah, she definitely deserves some extra love. So please go and send her some from me. That is the end of today's episode. Like I said, I hope it was good. I hope it made sense. I feel like because I've not done an episode, a proper episode in ages, this was really hard and I stumbled over my words quite a lot. I hope it wasn't too noticeable. I will try and edit out as much as possible. But I hope you're all having a lovely week, and I will see you in the next episode. Thank you so much for watching. I'll speak to you later. Bye-bye.